All right, guys, it's a pleasure
Love
to be here
at Dave
Nelson Studios. Gonna let that little kind of flash cut out of the way here as we get ourselves into this game. I'm gonna pull back here just a minute. We're gonna push the music out of the way here just to get started here at HNLC Studios. Usually we just kind of let it roll just a little bit, but you know, I've got important supporting information I'll talk to you guys about on tonight for those who joined us in. But I actually show on tonight. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with us here at HNLC Studios. Those are coming through our Axie Facebook channels, and who catch that particular link that's coming through our Axie program, you want to just tap on that particular icon down there, and it'll give you the opportunity to come into the show and be with us live here at HNLC Studios. For those who want to call into the studio, you can do that as well. Area code 515-602-9738. We're going to look at a few things over here in the area of the book of 2 Kings. And I've been kind of dealing with that a little bit. And some of the things that deal with the rebellion that went against those guys as they continue to just kind of not, you know, follow the rules and regulations of the kingdom of God. You know, these are some of the things that happen with us, you know, as men, man and women of God. And we know that the commandments are in place. We're not saying everybody has to be perfect in doing the commandments. So let's talk about that a little bit and how they came in the position to be what they are and how God brought them out at the same time. And Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you for this time, this moment of being with you on this particular time in the studio. Father God, it's always a blessing to come back, you know, just to be able to speak on my own station with so many other people I have the place of speaking. You know, I get a chance to bring forth the word to the man and woman of God that's in the studio today, which is you. And so we're going to be looking over in the book of Kings. And so, Father God, we ask you to bless this word even as we go forth. In your precious and powerful and mighty name, we pray, Lord. Amen. Man and woman of God, let's look at this really closely here. Over the book of 2 Kings, you know, we go back a little bit and we kind of look at the area of 2 Kings in chapter 6. You know, it brings us some, you know, some information about how they got into this rebellion. And, you know, when you get into these rebellion situations, it's hard to get out. It's hard for you to come out of these things. So we are going to just look at this for what it is, and we're going to let the music kind of play itself out here. Give me an opportunity to get myself in position as I get ready with you guys and going forth here at HNLC Studios. Just thinking about this particular scripture that we're going to be talking about here in just a few minutes here at HNLC Studios here in the city of Plano, Texas. And once again, I'll give you guys the information to call in. Area code 515-602-9738. And for those who are actually coming in to our Axie link, for those who picked up the link on my Axie Facebook or my Instagram shows or my TL shows or my cash shows, you know, just pop that link. You know, it's going to bring you guys right into the show. If you can't get the link, just go ahead and just press that particular press the link, but call in, you know, if you want to call in and be a part also. 515-602-9738. Got a lot of things I'm juggling right here, but I want to keep mind focused on what's going on here in this particular scripture as we talk about over here in the book of 2 Kings. And I want to go back just maybe one chapter to chapter 6. You know, we look over here in chapter 6 and we talk about the prophecy, the word that came forth, you know, with Elijah, behold, the place where you dwell. The Bible declared it's not big enough. It's too strict for us, you know. And when we go down to this particular scripture, we look at some things that took place in this particular area of scripture, really when Syria fell in the position of rebellion. And then the process of not them being rebellious, but at the same time, in the process of them being rebellious at the same time, you know, that was a thing that took place, you know, with these men and women of God that wasn't too pleasing. And when I look at this and I think about the process over here in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, when I gather my thoughts here, you know, then Elijah said that the word of the Lord, said the Lord God tomorrow about this time, you know, it'll be a fine flour sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley in the shekel in the gates of Samaria. Now, before this, we go into chapter 6, we look at chapter 6. You know, the situation was so critical over there. You know, they was eating each other's babies. You know, you look at the process, and when you look at over there in the scripture around the 7th of that particular area, I want to pull that up and let you guys get in here with me, and we're going to look at that also closely. And, you know, that process got so bad over there. Them man and woman guy was eating each other's kids. Man, now that's some serious stuff right there. Their rebellion was so bad, they resorted to cannibalism. You know, that the word of God talks over here, and we go over here, and let's look at this here. I'm going to take our time here because I'm not going to be with you too long. And look over here in 2 Kings, and let's go to 2 Kings, looking in that particular area of that sixth chapter. And the word of God says that over here that, therefore he said that the horses and the chariots are great, and so that they come by, that not be compressed about the city about. Now, this is when the word of God talks about Elijah beginning to speak the prophetic word to his servant. You know, it's more of them than it is of us. And we're going down here and we look at the process that when the situation got so bad, they say it got so bad down there, the famine was so bad that a donkey head sold for about $1 million around that 24th and 25th verse. It's not a famine in Samaria. Behold, the besieged until the asses and the head was sold 40 pieces of silver. And the Bible talks about the process of the parts of a calf or dove and 5 pieces of silver. You know, it got so bad. When you look at this right here in the 25th verse, I want to make sure we get this understanding here, that these particular items were so bad that just old donkey head. You know, the situation was so bad that just boiling the old donkey head and eating whatever you need to eat off of it, process of all they had to eat. Because normally, the things around them and the famine was so bad, was all eaten or gone, and they were just in starvation. And then it goes over and talks about the process of 40 of pieces of silver, you know, just dealing with pigeon poop. Listen to me, man, the woman of God, you're talking about a calf of dove dung, you know, and it was just pigeon poop, you know, or sold for 5 pieces of silver. And some of it used it for flavoring, and some of it used for, you know, ancient times for actually lighting candles or just burning torches. You know, it was a kind of a form that they used to keep the torches burning. And you're going down here, you look at the 26th verse, and they say, and then the process of the king, you know, he passed by the walls, and one of the women from the wall screamed out to him in the 26th verse and said, you know, oh, king, help us. And he said, well, how can I help you? And you look at the 26th verse, he said, oh, king of Israel, passed by upon the wall there, a woman saying, help us, Lord, oh, king. And then in the 27th verse, he said to him, oh, Lord, you know, help us. Whereas he said, where can I find help? You know, where can I find help to help you? From the wine presses, you know, from the barn floors, which are the threshing floors. Everything is gone. There's nothing. So they come down here and they talk about the process in the 28th verse. And the king said to her, What lieth thee? I mean, what alienates thee? What's bothering thee? And the woman said, give us your son. Now this is when you go to the lowest of trying to, when you're in rebellion with God, and when God bring a famine in the land, as we talk about with Joseph at the time, he went out in the process, his brothers looked at him as not being prophetic as he was, threw him into a hole, and he was picked up by a band of Ishmaelites, went out to Egypt, went through the process where he went to, until he came in the second in charge of all of Egypt. And then the famine came, and he gave a prophetic word to the king of how they should reserve themselves during that time. But in this situation, you know, the people that bought this particular phantom that was over there in that particular area of the country, it was the people that you didn't think that had the ability to bring them back. Now, let's look at this. I'm just kind of brushing through this with you guys because I don't want to be with you too long. I just want to just kind of breeze through it. And the king said over in the 20th verse, the king said to her, what lieth? What's bothering thee? And she answered and said, the woman said, give us your son that we may eat him. Now, this is talking about the lowest of when you start eating each other, cannibalism. And the day he said, we'll boil your son, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. And the word of God declared in the creed over there in 2 Kings in that 6th chapter in that 29th verse. And it said they boiled his son and they ate him. Listen to me. This is some serious stuff that was going on here. This is how bad a situation can get in your life. When you don't resort to the point to where you want to be, you're not walking where God wants you to walk. Situation may not be the point you be eating each other's babies, but I'm telling you, God can bring you down to such a low point in your life, not to hurt you, but he'll let you believe and wish that you was dead. You know, and I tell people, you don't want to get in contact with an angry God. You don't want to tangle with the fuel of the Holy Spirit. And in this particular scriptures, I begin to browse through here because I really want to get over to the 7th verse and look at the fact how God really brought them out of this phantom situation that was going on. These people had nothing to eat. They had nothing to the point because of their rebellion. And in the midst of their rebellion, they went down to boiling donkey heads and eating what you call dub dumpings, you know. And then the king passed by on the wall, and they began to ask him about his particular son. And then they ate his son, and then she didn't let him eat her son because she duped him. See, it's a lot of trickery going on. They say they boiled my son in the 29th verse. And then the next day, the son, they said they went to get his son. The Bible says she hid her son. Matter of fact, the scripture said this. So he boiled my son, and we did eat. And I said unto her, on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. No, you ain't going to get mine. I'm going to hide mine. When trickery gets so to a point because of rebellion in a particular city or in a particular part of your life that you get the lion. To a point that the lie is not to the point you go to eat another's babies, but you know, you'll tell a lie and on top of another lie to the lies, as I heard the man of God say, the lies will run right past you to the point you don't even understand why you lying and the reason you lying. Sometimes you might have to slap yourself and wake yourself. What am I doing? What am I doing to the point in the state that I'm in that I'm not pleasing God the way I need to, that this situation is falling upon my life the way it is? What's going on here? And sometimes you really got to resort to the point of praying. In the midst of them praying, and you're going down here, and you move over to the seventh verse, and we're going to just kind of breeze through this, come and do a thorough investigation on this on Thursday about this particular area. On the sixth verse is what is the seventh chapter. Sixth chapter is what is the seventh chapter. But I'm going to breeze through this particular area, and I'm going to show you how God declared and decreed that he said how you need to be patient in the midst of a storm. That even when somebody is causing you to fall into what we call mischief, you know, we're talking about the process, what happened over there in Judah, when the word of God through the prophecy of Jeremiah kept telling them, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is coming, you know, obey, you know, amend your ways over there in Jeremiah chapter 7, amend your ways, amend your doing. God's going to call you to dwell in this land. He can cause Nebuchadnezzar not to come, but if your rebellion continue on, oh, you king, and not listen to the words of the prophecy that's coming forth through who God sent me as being Jeremiah, the prophet, to tell you this situation with Nebuchadnezzar is going to come to fruition. And the word of God said, Jeremiah even stood in the gates of the people's house, in the gates of the temples over in Jeremiah chapter 7, and he begged them for all the ones who's coming to the house that they amend their ways and amend their doings. And this is the same thing he's speaking over here in the area of the book of Kings. If you really think about it, Kings was in such a rebellious situation to the point their situation resulted so low that they began to eat the donkey heads. I mean, just low down. They just got low down that they resorted to cannibalism and eating to what they call dungs of a bird. Am I there with somebody? The season, or they were lighting their torches. They resorted to the most lowest stuff to try to survive on. But the word of God declared and decreed that the prophet began to speak forth. Elijah said, he hear the word of the Lord in the seventh chapter. He's about this time tomorrow. God, the prophet said, I'm about to speak a word. When your life is so bad and the situation like was in chapter 6, God said, I'll bring a time that you will realize and understand that you will turn from your ways in the midst of where you are, that I send a prophet to speak a word in and over your life to bring you out of whatever condition you were in. In Kings chapter 7, Elijah begins to bring forth a prophetic word and said, tomorrow about this time, there will be a measure of flour and sold for a shekel and a measure of barley sold for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Now, he's speaking this. And here's one of these henchmen comes to him in the second verse. Said, the Lord who hands, the king leaned and answered man, one of these yes men, said, behold, the Lord was to make wonders in heaven. This thing, how could this thing, might this thing be? He's in rebellion to the point that he feels the situation is so bad that God can't bring him out. And most of us understand, I don't care how bad your situation may be, God sent a prophet along to bring you out a word, to give you a word in the spirit. And you disobey it, man or woman, God, you will fall right back in that situation over in Kings chapter 6. But those people resorted to the lowest form of living. Today with the cannibalism and doing things that they never intended to do because they disobeyed the word of God. This henchman that the Bible said the king leaned on, and the Bible said he answered the man and said, behold, the Lord, if he was to make one, look at this brother, if the Lord was to make wonders in heaven, this thing, how could this thing be? And he said, behold, I should see it with our own eyes, but I should not eat of it. This is when people look at you as if you ain't got what it takes. What they're telling you about the word of God is coming, that Jesus is coming, get yourself together. this situation that went on with this particular area of this COVID that was going on with us. You know, people are still running out and doing things they're not supposed to. They still disobeying the commands. They still not look at the fact that the Word of God decreed a word when he talked about it over in the matter of fact, over in the book of Timothy 13. He talked about that particular area of scripture when we understood the fact there was laws and rules and regulations in the land that we ought to obey, that we may not find ourselves walking opposite of what the blessings of God has in store for us. Now, when you think about it. Listen to me, man and woman of God. When the Word of God decreed that word over to them, over in the book of Timothy, I want to go in the book of Timothy for a minute here. I want to look at something in the book of Timothy. And I want to just line something up here when we're just thinking about the process, how God really, he's there to preserve you, but you got to walk upright. You know, you got to have a way that pleases God. The Bible said when a man ways pleases God, when a woman ways pleases God, God will begin to give them, now he won't begin to give them, he will give them desires of their heart. In other words, when you're walking in the righteousness of God, the Bible said there's nothing he would hold from you. That's what he says in Psalms 84:11. There's nothing I'll hold from you. When you begin to find yourself falling into rebellion against the will of God and not going in the way that he wants you to go, you'll find yourself in a very tight situation. Am I talking to somebody? To the point that situation gets so bad that you resort to the lowest form of whatever it may be that you need to be able to survive on, that you'll find yourself in a position that you don't even know how to come out of what you're in because you're so mixed up and tangled up in whatever is going on in your life. We look at these things and we think about it. How can God permit something like that happen easy? You rebelled, didn't you? The Bible declared and decreed that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God has got to go forth. It won't come void. So he's going to do his part, but you got to do your part. These men and women of God in the area of this particular scripture in 2 Kings and the henchmen who laid at the door when the prophet gave a word to them, Elijah, and he said, if the Lord, he said, you know, you're lying. That's really what it is. He said, you're a liar. The Bible declared, decreed that the men that bought them out didn't even look like men that was capable of having what they needed to be able to free such a country or city in that particular magnitude of distress. The Bible said these leper men in the third verse were sitting down at the door, and these brothers began to prophesy and speak to one another. The Bible says in that Second Kings 7, in that 3-4, that there are four lepers who were at the entrance of the gates, and they said to one another, why are we going to sit into it that? You see, this is how you need to really understand how to examine yourself. If you know there's something going on in your life, you know it's not right in God, won't you sit back and examine yourself? Don't keep running forward. Don't keep blaming people for your own mishaps. Check yourself out. See what's going on with you. The Bible declared on that particular area, the fourth verse, he said, and they say to him when he entered into the city, the phantom was in the city. Now, if the phantom was in the city, if we're going to enter the city, what's killing them in the city is there. Therefore, we're going to go over into the enemy's camp. The Bible said they went up to the enemy's camp, and the Bible said a host of Syria. And the Bible said if they save us alive, we should live. And if they kill us, we should die. These brothers said, look here, we'll die if we go into the city, and we'll die if we stay here. Why don't we just go home and take our chance with the ones who got all the goods? The Bible said they rose at twilight, which the Bible talks about 3-4 in the morning. The Bible said it went into the Syrian camp, and on their way into the Syrian camp, the Bible declared that on their way into the camp, it said, when they came to the uttermost parts of the camp of Syria, behold, there were no men there. Because the Word of God declared, God calls a sound. That calls a sound. In that sixth verse, a sound of chariots and horsemen and noise is so great to the point these men were afraid. They thought, well, somebody was about to besiege them. Like I said, we're just floating through the night, but we're going to get a really good understanding of this thing on Thursday. We're just giving you what you call a platform work tonight, just letting you kind of see into where we are, just breezing through the scripture and giving you some real good understanding and honest speaking about what goes on in the lives of individuals when they don't find themselves walking in the righteousness of God. We saw a lot of things take place during this COVID. Because there were people who continued to want to go their way and not obey what God wanted them to do. Because they were so distressed in the point of trying to keep themselves financially in position. Well, God declared, if you obey my commands and my statutes, whatever you have lost, I'll give it back to you double. Just obey what I'm telling you to do. Fall in line with what's going on. But some people went against that. Some people feel like it was an attack against the church. Some people feel like they can continue to go on. But when the people start dropping like flies, they got their attention for a minute, some of them. And some of them walked right on into the situation, got burned up. And God took them on home. But I'm telling you something, man and woman, God. When God raises his hand against a situation or a particular city, or like here in the U.S., about now this thing hit worldwide, you might all want to obey and not rebel against and try to find some way in Scripture to make it sound like that is some kind of plague to the point that God is coming to destroy you. No, he's not coming to destroy you. This attack wasn't even against the church. Same thing happened with Moses. Moses, go in the house. Just wait in the house. Stay in the house until this death angel come through, and then we'll come out. We can go on and get to the promise. But even when they came out and got to the promise, they got over there and rebelled. And God had to send them out to the point that everywhere they looked out, there was a hump in the ground. The snakes and the scorpions bit them off and killed them, that he had to raise up a whole new generation of people. That's why I talks about the process over in the book of Deuteronomy as being a revised covenant. It was a new covenant. Because the covenant coming out of Egypt failed because of the people's rebellion. Sometimes, men of God, we get to moving on the station, and we get to going, and the power of the Spirit get to moving. Sometimes you don't have an idea of what God is doing and what he's saying. But it's constantly moving in the way that he needs to move to let you know in this season and in this time, if you're going to walk with me, you're going to have to really understand that what I'm telling you, what I'm saying. And the only way you're going to get to that point is you got to get on your knees. You can't look to the forms of educations of men, their theology, their understanding. They have persuasive words in such a way that sounds so oratorical to you that it moves you in such a way that it don't even do anything. It don't even benefit you. It just makes you feel good inside. But there's no power and anointing, no transformation in the word. It's just something to hype you up and get you a yell. Oh, yeah. I'm going to just yell at him. Just scream. But there's nothing that has affected your heart to get you to the point that you know you need to have a change in your life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, even as I stretch out my hand to the man and woman of God and open up the opportunity to every one of them, Father God, to be able to have a relationship with you in such a way, Father God, they will have a divine understanding, an individual understanding about who you are, not corporately, but individually. As the word of God speaks over in the book of Matthew 6:6, go into your own secret place. Pray to God about what's going on in your own life. And when you understand the way God has things for you, and you really need to understand what Jeremiah 29:11 tells you, he says, a plan I got for you. But you're going to have to seek ye first the kingdom of God. You're going to have to walk upright. You're going to have to really understand what I'm telling you over in Psalms 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counselship of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of a sinner. I will protect you according to the word Ephesians 1:21. For above every prince and power and dominion, not only name in this here world, but everything that which is to come. I'm talking to somebody who really understand that you got the ability and the power to speak and call things in your life that be not the what they were, and know the plan in your life is really more more than what you can see. Father God, touch them in their heart. Touch them in their mind. Touch them in their spirit. Let this be a heartfelt word that comes from the kingdom of God, that every demonic force and every demon that try to penetrate, Father God, we sever the head of every serpent in the name of Jesus. Every outside force, Father God, we knock it down, Father God, through the power and the presence of the four winds of the Holy Ghost. And that when it moves, Father God, it will be a fresh wind, a swoop in the spirit that'll touch man and woman of God in such a way that it'll convict their heart, Father God. That even though we see doors opening in different areas, Father God, let us pray and understand that the door, just because it's open, doesn't necessarily mean we got to walk in it. You said, behold, I was set before you an open door that no man can open and no man can shut. Father God, I want to follow that door. Not because of opportunity, Father God, for names are bringing me in validation, but believing and declaring the creed that if I stay humble with you, and I try to rise to the point to make myself feel other than what you declared me to be, I believe you will do just what you said you're going to do. That you're not a God that you should love. You're not a son of any piece of a flesh that you have to repent. You have given a commanding word to bless, and you declared you will and cannot reverse it. Father God, touch the hearts and the minds of every city, Father God, every mayor, Father God, every leader, Father God, every lawyer, every judge, Father God, every school teacher in the name of Jesus, every student, Father God, both young and old, Father God, wherever they may be, every university, Father, let your word run rapid in the very crevice of places, Father God, where it don't seem that these so-called wannabe religious people or Christian people want to go. Lord, go out to the hedges and the highways and gain them, Father God, who really need to hear you to come to the point that you're God, Father God, and you're not a God that you should lie, you're not a son of any man that you should have to repent. You have been given a commandment to bless the men and women, God, as long as they're calling out to you. Father God, this is an opportunity for them to call out to you. Lord, hear my word as I speak to your people. Touch their hearts, Father God. Go into their households. Move up and down, Father God. Convict and arrest. Shut down everything in their life that's not like God, that make them realize and understand, Father God. You love them, Father God. You predestined them, Father God. You set them aside for this day and time. Not because of someone somebody said, because of their personal relationship when they sought after you, according to Matthew 6 and 33. They loved you, Father God. And if they call out to you, Father God, in the midst of them wanting to love you, Father God, I believe in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you said that no good thing you will hold from those that's if they walk upright. But not only that, for those who call on you. You said, according to Psalm 46, whoever calls on me. You're not tomorrow, not yesterday, not these words that these so-called wannabe prophecies or want to say 3 days you're going to do. No, you said you're a very present help in a very present time of need. That means you will touch the hearts of a man and woman of God, and whatever it may be that's going on in their life, you are there, Father God, in a nanominute. To believe and declare that your word is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword, that you will deliver a punch, Father God, that will level them to the point of understanding that you are God. And you already have the plans and the thoughts you know for their life, and it's always good plans and not of evil. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that even as you begin to speak to the hearts of the men and women of God, you will touch them, Father God, in such a way they will just mesmerize them beyond belief. I thank you, Father God, for this time. I thank you for this moment. I thank you for the time we're spending with you each and every day. As we rise up in the morning, this will be a part of your holy kingdom. You know, Father God, we can't do nothing without you. Father God, I thank you. I bless you. I honor you, Father God. But even as I honor you, Father God, I ask you to look over my team, all those in my Africa team, all those in my teams out in the Syria area, the Pakistan area, Father God. You know who they are. All those in the Sierra Leone area. We come back over, Father God. We ask for all those out in our Russia area, all those out in our Asian countries, Father God, that speak in the North Asia, East Asia, all those in Laos, Father God, all those in Myanmar, Father God, touching them in the name of Jesus, Father God, all through the Russian continent, Father God, who's opening up their way to hear what the Word of God has to say in these seasons that they're in, that we may clearly know and understand that as we reach the millions, Father God, the Damascus, Father God, that the Word will penetrate the heart and the mind of every individual, that let them know, Father God, they are not just anything. You created them. You designed them with a plan and a purpose. Father God, that your children, Father God, despite of their ways, you died on the cross, that they may all have the right to the tree of life, despite of the heinous and negative things they may have done, Father, you yet still love them, Father God, not pinpointing them and looking at them as being anything other than your children who you predestinate for your own will and purpose, and you set them aside, and you got to set in heavenly places with you already. I believe in the name of Jesus, those who walk upright. You said no good thing you will hold from those, for even those who walk in wrong, Father God. I believe you'll touch them as well, Father God, seeking and believing and declaring and decreeing that in the midst of a season that we're in, I believe, Father God, your word is the word that's penetrating in the hearts of every individual, that they may know and understand that you are God, and besides you, that's nothing. I decree the word. I declare it. I call it the word that's already gone forth. It cannot come back void, but it has already accomplished all that in therein. These things, I don't even speak of myself, but through the power of the Most High God. In the name and Maximus name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Don't forget to join us on our next morning show here at HNLC Studios, our Power of Prayer, as well as our other shows with the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis. The little one, you can also look up her on Active BTR station. Evangelist Alan Carter, all those others out in different foreign countries and areas. We thank God for them being a part of the work that we're doing here at HNLC Studios. And we want you all to continue to join in and be a part of the work we're doing here, that you may clearly know and understand the work that we're doing is clearly set by God. Y'all be blessed.